Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 1, The Supreme Lord is Equal to Everyone, Text 13. Atraivodahita Purvam Itihasa Suarshina Pritya Mahakutau Rajam Prichtate Jatasatrave. Atraivodahita Purvam Itihasa Sarashina Pritya Mahakrita Rajan Pritchate Jatashatrave. Atraivodahita Purvam Itihasa Surashina Pritya Mahakrita Rajan Pritchate Jatashatrave. Atraivodahita Purvam Itihasa Surashina Pritya Mahakrita Rajan Pritchate Jatashatrave. Jaivadarita Purvam Tihasa Sararshina Trivedarita Urvam Sasrasina Jemakita Rajan Vimatasatrave. Adarita Urvam Asina Saranam Satrave. Trivadavita Purvam Diyarasatra Asina Vaishnavis, atra, in this connection, eva, certainly, udahritaha, was recited, purvam, previously, itihasaha, an old story, Surarishina, by the great sage Narada. Pritya, with joy. Mahakratau, at the great Rajasuya sacrifice. Rajam, O king. Prichate, to the inquiring. Ajatashatrave, Maharaj Yudhisthira, who had no enemy. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. So please repeat. Formerly, O King, when Maharaj Yudhisthira was performing the Rajasuya sacrifice, the great sage Narada, responding to his inquiry, recited historical facts, showing how the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always impartial, even when killing demons. In this regard, he gave a vivid example. Purport. This relates to how the Lord exhibited his impartiality even when killing Shishupal in the arena of the Rajasuya Yajna performed by Maharaj Yudhisthira. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the topic of this chapter is how the Supreme Lord is equal to everyone. And the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna directly says this, Samoham Sarva Bhuteshu Na Me Dveshyosti Na Priyaha. He's saying, I am equal to everyone. I don't have any particular friends or particular enemies. Elsewhere in the Gita, Lord Krishna says, Ye yata mam prapadyante tamstatayava bhajamyaham. As they surrender unto me, I reciprocate with them or reward them accordingly. So, although Krishna is ready to reciprocate with everyone in the best way, each soul has its individuality, it has its free will. And Krishna isn't going to compromise that. Mamaivamso jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. Krishna says, the soul is part of me. It comes from me. So that means it's of the same substance. It's of the same quality, but not the same quantity. It's like you have a fire. The sparks are little samples of the fire, but the big fire is more powerful than the little sparks. Or, a drop of the ocean is of the same quality as the ocean, but it's not like the ocean. You can't have a tsunami with a single drop of water. So, Krishna has his special quality. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the individual souls are part and parcel of Him, minute parts and parcels. So they have the same qualities, and one of them is independence. So Krishna doesn't compromise that independence. He doesn't take this independence away, but He sets things up so that everyone has an equal opportunity. On the spiritual level, the totally spiritual liberated level, this principle operates. There are different souls who in their swarupas interact with Krishna in different rasas or taste. So each soul has its individual taste, its individual rasa, its individual swarupa, eternal spiritual form, and Krishna reciprocates with them all. It's not that the devotee who's serving Krishna as a servant or friend is less than the devotee who is serving, you know, Krishna and some other rasa like Madhurya rasa or Vatsalya rasa. Krishna is reciprocating with them all equally. Now, if souls are not qualified to be in their swarupas, in their eternal spiritual forms, in the spiritual world, they exist in the material world where they're trying to enjoy themselves separately from Krishna. Krishna bahir mukahana bhogavanchakare nikatashta mayatare chapati atare. If the soul turns its face away from Krishna, Krishna bahir mukha, why? Because it wants to enjoy independently from Krishna. Then Krishna is also equal to all such souls, but he doesn't take on responsibility for their actions. It's like sometimes, you know, we see, you know, a sign, management does not take responsibility. Like if you park your car in this lot, you know, the management does not assume responsibility. Or if you come to this swimming pool, you know, management does not assume responsibility. It's so like Krishna is like that. He puts a sign on the material world. You know, if you come here, management does not assume responsibility for your actions from your free will. So Krishna sets things up so that the soul can act independently from him in forgetfulness of him, or the soul can try to remember him and come back. But that's up to the individual soul. Krishna isn't going to interfere with the free will of the soul. If the soul wants to merge into his Brahman effulgence, he'll allow that. He'll facilitate that. If the soul wants to acquire mystic powers, then he'll facilitate that. If the soul wants to act as a karmi, as a fruitive worker, then Krishna will facilitate that. But then the soul has to accept the results of its own choices. And hopefully, as a result of experiencing these things, the souls will begin to make the right kinds of decisions. But Krishna isn't going to force anyone to do this. It has to be something that they decide to do. You know, they find, you know, just in the world of politics, you know, they find the best kinds of government systems are not the kinds of government systems that try to control every aspect of a citizen's life, but where they set up conditions, you know, so that, you know, the citizens wind up making the right kinds of decisions that are helpful for society. So Krishna more or less does the same thing. Everyone has free will. They can act as they please, but they have to accept the results of their activities. For example, if one wants to become a fruitive worker, well, then Krishna arranges things in such a way that if you perform pious activities, you will make material advancement. In this world, or perhaps by going all the way up to the planets of the demigods, where there's the highest and most refined kind of material experience. But if one doesn't perform, you know, these karmic duties properly, then one gets the opposite kind of result. One experiences material suffering, going down into lower than human bodies, going into hellish planets, or experiencing a very low level of human life on this planet with a lot of suffering and implications. It's always a big problem among religionists, you know, how, if there is a God, an all-good, all-powerful God, there is suffering. So there's, you know, a particular term for dealing with this problem. It's called theodicy. Means, you know, explaining the problem of evil in the world or apparent evil in the world. So one way that some theologians and philosophers solve this problem is by saying, well, actually God isn't all-powerful and he's not all-good. They come to that conclusion. Or they come, some people come to the conclusion there is no God. Because if there was a God, there wouldn't be any evil in the world. And then if they do, even if some people do accept God, when confronted with the evil they see in the world, you know, they conclude, well, then God must not be all powerful. He must not be all good, or he just doesn't care about us at all. But in our Gaudiya Vaishnava theology, you know, we have a proper answer to these questions. God actually is all-powerful. He actually is all-good. But part of his goodness is he accepts that the individual souls have free will. And he doesn't impose his will on them forcefully. You know, if there's going to be love of God, it has to be voluntary. But he sets things up so that the souls can exercise their free will. They do have options, but they have to accept the results of those options, not just in this one life, but in many different lives. God's actual will is that we all be in the spiritual world with him, enjoying a life of eternality, knowledge, and bliss in an eternal spiritual form that is beyond birth, death, old age, and disease, in a situation that is devoid of the various kinds of material miseries, which are described as adiatmic, adibhautik, adidaivik. Now, the adiatmic miseries are the miseries that come from one's own mind and body. Material bodies are designed to be temporary. Now, Krishna has given us a swarupa, an eternal spiritual form, and we can be in that if we so choose. But if we choose to remain independent from Krishna, try to enjoy ourselves separately, then we have to accept a material body. Just like normally as human beings, we're meant to live on the land. You know, we walk around on the land. If we want to exist in an alien element like water, then we need a vehicle that will allow us to function in that alien element. We need a submarine or a diving suit. Like recently it's been in the news that James Cameron, who was the director and producer of the film Titanic, he made a little submarine and he went down into the lowest, deepest part of the ocean, the Mariana Trench. It's in the Pacific Ocean off the Mariana Islands. It's very deep, 7 miles deep. So, you know, you can't just decide I'm going to hold my breath and swim down 7 miles. You know, you need a vehicle that will allow you to function underwater. So, similarly, we're normally meant to exist, we're meant to exist on the spiritual level of reality, and we have a spiritual form, but we've come now to the material world, so we need vehicles that will allow us to function in the alien element of matter. So Krishna provides bodies made of material elements. And they're not full of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. That's just not that. Now, we could be in a form that is beyond all of these miseries. You know, the miseries that come from our own body, the miseries that come from other living entities, the miseries that come from the acts of the material energy. We see, you know, the material energy acts in some very destructive ways. You know, hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes, tsunamis. There's none of that in the spiritual world. It's just that we've come here, and according to the way we've exercised our free will, we're exposed to greater or lesser degrees to these different kinds of miseries. And even if, like the demigods, we go up to a very high level of material experience, Krishna says, Abrahma Bhuvana Loka, even if you go up to Brahma Loka, the highest material planet, still, it's a temporary place. You know, it's a material place, and you won't ultimately be happy there even, unless you're engaged in pure devotional service. You know, then one can achieve the stage of what's called Jivan Mukta, being liberated even in this life, in the material world. Iha yasya harer dasye karmana manasa gira nikalasya pivasta su jivan mukta sa uchite. That means even in the material body, in the material world, one is liberated. And how does one come to that position? Iha yasya harer dasye. That all of our desires, our ihas, are dedicated to service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's no separate interest. And we display that karmana manasa gira by our actions, by our words, by our thoughts. So if one's thoughts, words, and actions are 100% totally dedicated to the service, the loving service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then one is liberated even in this life, and one doesn't identify in a materialistic false ego kind of way with one's material body and one's material situation. So in this way, Krishna is equal to everyone. He's offering everyone the opportunity to go back home, back to Godhead. But he respects the free will of the soul. And if they don't agree to engage in pure devotional service, then they have to accept the results of their actions and their choices. And again, that's Krishna's equality. But sometimes Krishna gives extraordinary mercy. For example, when he comes in his form of Lord Chaitanya, then he overlooks all the decisions that a person may have made. You know, he doesn't. Krishna normally says, "Yayatam mam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajamyaham." As they behave, I reward them accordingly. So, a soul may have come to this world, may have behaved in such a way that it deserves to be in the situation that it's in. But Lord Chaitanya overlooks that. You know, he is spreading his mercy to everyone without regard to their qualification. This is the special feature of this particular incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is giving this mercy without regard to qualification. And therefore, we're able to participate in this Krishna consciousness movement. Although according to our karma, most of us, maybe some pure devotees here who were sent by Krishna, but to this world, but for most of us, we were in the situations that we deserved, you know, because of our karma. But But somehow or other, because we were exposed to the mercy of Lord Chaitanya through acting through his instruments, his representatives, the devotees of Lord Chaitanya in this world, you know, we got some mercy and therefore were able to participate in this Krishna consciousness movement. And in that respect, Lord Chaitanya's movement was very revolutionary, you know, even in India. You know, the caste brahmanas were very upset with Lord Chaitanya that he was giving the Hare Krishna mantra indiscriminately to everyone, even just without any regard for their caste or their qualification. And they were very upset, so they went to the government. You know, the government was then in the hands of the Islamic people, so there was a ruler in Mayapur, Qazi, the Muslim Islamic ruler. So the Indian people, the Hindu people, yeah, they went and they complained against Lord Chaitanya that he was indiscriminately accepting everyone into his spiritual movement. So Lord Chaitanya organized a civil disobedience movement. You know, he called all his followers into the streets to chant the Hare Krishna mantra and converge on the house of the Qazi. And then he went there himself and had a personal discussion with him. So he was extending his mercy to everyone, regardless of their background. Kirata Hunandra Pulinda Pukasha Abira Shumba Yavana Kashadaya Yen Yen Chapapaya Pashra Pashraya Shudyanti Tasmai Prabhavishnave Namaha. So, yeah, there are descriptions of different categories of people who, according to their karma, find themselves in sinful bodies and sinful societies. And there's a whole list of them. And it says, it doesn't matter that you're in that position. By the power and mercy of a Vaishnava, you can become purified. So our whole Krishna consciousness movement is based on that principle. Srila Prabhupada was following strictly in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as was his guru, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. And both Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada were heavily criticized by different caste brahmanas and Hindus and who were very much fixed on everybody should be in their karmic position. And you know, you have to just accept the results of your karma. And maybe in some other life you can become a devotee. But that wasn't Lord Chaitanya's mood. You know, he was very revolutionary in that aspect, extending Krishna's mercy to everyone. So his followers in disciplic succession also did that. And they established that principle, and Srila Prabhupada was following in that same mood, showing practically, not just theoretically, but practically how everyone, even from the most sinful backgrounds, can become devotees of Lord Krishna by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So this is the real equal opportunity movement. Of course, spiritually, you know, everyone has an equal, you know, opportunity. But still the principle is there. Yeyatamam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajamyaham. According to one's position and surrender, Krishna reciprocates. But he's doing that without favor to anyone and without envy towards anyone. But he's reciprocating with everyone according to their choice and their qualification. So I'll stop there. Does anybody have any question or comment? Archita Prabhu.
I just wanted to open the point of what if nice verses are there for everyone? to Jagai and Madai that the only requirement he had for them was that they had to clean up their act. In other words, you can't go on being Jagai and Madai and be accepted in the society of devotees. But sometimes we see devotees, they don't understand that principle. They think if you try to rectify somebody, then you're being too heavy and this and that. But Lord Chaitanya himself set that example. If you want to be in the society, even his own mother, she, some or other, you know, offended Advaita Acharya, and he was upset at her, and he showed that. So the point is that, yes, you can give the chanting to anyone and everyone, but in order to live in the society of devotees, you have to toe the line. You have to come to a certain standard. Otherwise, you may not be allowed to stay. And sometimes devotees don't understand that. They think you're being mean, you're being heavy, if you expect somebody to live a certain style of life. Yeah, but you can chant. You can chant anywhere. That's up to you. But if you want to live in the society of devotees, you have to come to a certain standard.
It's a very good point. There are a lot of things that could be said on this topic. In a few minutes, you can't say them all. But another aspect is, in addition to extending his mercy, Lord Krishna, Lord Chaitanya are also giving practical hints and instructions to everyone how to take advantage of their mercy in the best way. Like Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, Yashastra vidam utsraja vartate kamakarata nasa sadim avapnoti nasukam na param gatim. Which means one has to follow the injunctions of Shastra, which are there equally for anyone to take up. And those who take them up will get the goal. I mean, Krishna's mercy is there. He's extending these instructions to everyone. Nobody is excluded. But according to how one follows those instructions, one gets a proper result. If one follows the Shastric injunctions, then one achieves the ultimate spiritual pleasure, param gatim, the highest goal, the ultimate goal of life. And if one doesn't, then one gets a different result. So those instructions about how to live in the society of devotees are also there. Tandara charana seve bhakta sani vas, it said, one has to serve Krishna and the spiritual master in a society of devotees. So in the society of devotees, there's a certain standard. So that's a very good point. Anything else? The timekeeper has spoken. So we're ending here. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.